Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Mother Folklore, a podcast of words.
Irish
words.
And words from Ireland.
These are the votes from the Finnish jury.
Hello, Ireland. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Hello, Finland.
Helsinki. It's not Helsinki, but hello, guys.
What are the votes of the Helsinki or the Finnish jury?
The Finnish jury have voted 12 points deux points for Ireland. No, absolutely
not. Chance would be a fine
because
thing.
A, Ireland never gets to the final, and B, Finland never gets to the final. So, except that one time, 2004, I think, with Lordi. Do you guys remember Lordi?
I remember Lordi.
Yeah, great song. There is a statue dedicated to them in Rovaniemi, in Lapland, in Finland, where they're from. And I've seen it, and it's pretty sweet.
That is really cool. Imagine if we had like a statue of Johnny Logan.
We should.
Listen, we should have a statue of Johnny Logan.
We should
have two. Like, so there's a statue of Joe Dolan in Athlone.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Dolan, as far as I know, didn't win no Eurovisions. Johnny Logan has won us two and also three because he wrote that Lynn Burton song.
I hate to midlandsplain you, Garagine, but I think the statue of Joe Dolan is in Mullingar.
Oh, it's all the same, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's all the
probably.
One. Like, what is the difference?
Anyway, back to our very long intro. This might be the longest intro across our two seasons. But is Misha Emer Duffy.
August is Misha Dara Cushé.
And is Misha Garrity McAvoy.
And you're very welcome to today's European, today's episode is a slightly European slant. Specifically, our beloved co-host Garagine is currently in Finland.
Hello.
But in Finland, obviously, is where Finnish is spoken, but also where, as a minority language, Swedish is spoken by the Swedish-speaking Finnish community.
Exactly. And I'm actually calling today from Borgo, or Borgo, as it's called in Swedish, which is, there's about a 30% population Swedish speakers here, which is pretty high for like a larger city in Finland. And I bought coffee and a Finnish cinnamon bun this morning in Swedish, and I was so happy with myself. So yeah, it's a pretty Swedish-speaking town, as Swedish-speaking towns go in Finland.
So how did this all come about? How did a bunch of Finns end up speaking Swedish?
Let me take you back to the 17th century. No, for those of you who aren't aware, Finland up until 1917 was, not independent. So in 1917, Finland gained independence from Russia. But prior to that, it was part of a Swedish, empire. And it was owned by what is now Sweden, so the Swedish monarchy. And in that time, a minority of people from kind of Sweden, the move to Finland, but also the language of like administration was very largely Swedish at that time. So while the majority of people in Finland spoke Finnish, because Finnish is an insane language, nothing like Swedish, so it's not like a crossover that you could do quite easily.
Mm-hmm.
The language of administration was largely Swedish. Up to now, then, there has been, during independence, there was a large movement of Swedish-speaking Finns involved in independence. Mannerheim, who's a Finnish war hero, was a Swedish-speaking Finn, very much involved in Finnish independence and thereafter. So Swedish-speaking Finns are very much part of Finnish culture. It's a co-official language. Very often people who don't know will confuse a Swedish-speaking Finn with a Swede who lives in Finland or call them Finnish Swedes. They're not very keen on that. They're very much Finns. And they use the what they would call it here, what in some countries you call the soccer debate, what in Finland you call the ice hockey debate. So when Finland and Sweden are playing, Swedish-speaking Finns shout for Finland, always.
I see.
So they're very much Finns, very proud of their Finnish heritage, but also very proud of their Swedish-speaking Finn heritage, which has a long and storied history in Finnish history.
I'm seeing a lot of similarities here.
Yeah.
I mean, 1917 independence, two languages in the country, language of administration, sports rivalry.
It's really interesting because I suppose in the Finnish context, and I use this term very lightly, that Swedish is like the invading language with inverted commas. That's not really how it's seen largely, but it's the non, I suppose, native language to Finland, but it's not seen in the same way that, say, English would be in Ireland. So Swedish is the minority language, whereas, you know, for us, it's Irish. But it's very much, there's not very, in terms of say, conflict between the two nations, while there is a rivalry, a kind of friendly rivalry between Finland and Sweden, there's not the same level of say, rivalry, to put it politely, that one might see between Ireland and our nearest neighbours.
And I was just thinking recently, gouging the way in around 1830s and 1820s, there would have been more Irish speakers in the world than Swedish speakers.
Yeah.
And then there was a culinary disaster, or the fussy eaters suddenly put their foot down a bit too much, and next thing you know, but it's so a lot of the arguments people would say about Irish, and kind of how it's, you occasionally hear people say that Ireland was done a favour by being given, by having English kind of presented to us.
And, oh, definitely. Yeah, we're really grateful for that one. And I don't know how we're going to repay them for, you know,
yeah,
the benefits they have bestowed upon our country.
And it's, so, I mean, whereas you think this was the Scandinavian countries would have English as a very widely spoken second or third language, and they all seem to be doing pretty fine.
Yeah, they do. And a part of that, I suppose, is the interconnected nature of Scandinavian languages, with, of course, the exception of Finnish, which is Nordic language, not a Scandinavian language. So the Scandinavian languages would be Swedish, Norwegian, and Danish, and they're super similar. So if you, for example, if I was reading, so I speak a relatively decent Swedish, if I was reading something in Norwegian, I could probably get the general gist of it because the language is very similar. Similarly, if you're from the southern part of Sweden and you speak Skåne, you might very easily understand Danish, even sometimes better than Swedish from other parts of Sweden. So it's very interconnected in one sense. Mm-hmm. And it's also, because all of the languages and the populations of these countries are quite large, these languages aren't really threatened that much. So most people, at least in Finland, most people I know are, if not bilingual to a level where communication is not a problem. So usually people can speak Finnish and English like almost perfectly. Sometimes it can be very actually hard to even notice that a person who lives here isn't a native English speaker because they have like flawless American accents. Mm-hmm. For Swedish speaking Finns, they will be usually largely trilingual or multilingual because, you know, picking up other languages isn't very difficult. There isn't much of a problem with, say, maintaining languages. So while media is, you know, they have their own, you know, TV channels and stuff, they've, you know, their own pretty good dramas and things. They get dramas from other countries. I'm sure most of our listeners have probably, if not watched some sort of noir Scandinavian crime drama, at least they've heard about them. Mm-hmm. But also they have a lot of English media too. So people are largely really, really fluent in English and any other language, what it is. So for example, when I fly SAS, they do the security announcement, you know, this is how you put your face mask on when it comes down and there's low oxygen pressure, whatever. They do that in English. And then they say a summary will be followed in the Scandinavian language, which isn't a language, but they use sort of a common words in each language. Ooh. So that everybody can understand, which is like really fascinating for me. But that's because
so they don't pick a conch.
They don't pick a conch. They have their own.
They use the Kaidan.
They use the Kaidan, exactly. Which is another really interesting avenue because, when you talk about languages, it's very actually hard to define what a language is versus a dialect. So while Swedish is defined as its own language, it's so similar to Norwegian that it could be argued that Swedish and Norwegian is dialect, is a dialect of one language, say a Scandinavian language, but that's not its, how it's seen. I read a really good piece at a conference one that said a language is a dialect with an army, and that's how you decide what a language is and what's a dialect. Oh. But for some people, dialects are, you know, sometimes in some languages, dialects are completely incomprehensible to each other, but sometimes languages are completely comprehensible to each other. And I would include in that, like, say, German is really similar to Swedish, apparently. I don't know, I don't speak German.
That's really interesting, because I remember I was at a wedding in Germany. It was in Bavaria, and they were very kind of, they were very proud of their local, I guess their Bavarian kind of ancient. There was an Austrian at the table, and they were effectively saying that he was like, his German was gibberish to them, and then when they spoke to him, they found it easier to speak to him in English.
Yeah, exactly. And that's often the case with some languages, that if you have a different dialect, you know, it's easier to speak, to communicate in a third language, because your dialects are so foreign to each other. Whereas, like I said, for SAS, they use this thing called the Scandinavian language. And I mean, I've never had a situation on an SAS plane, thank touch wood.
Yeah, touch wood.
Those services have been needed to be used. But everybody seemed to be nodding along and pretending that they understood what was happening. So, yeah, it's really interesting.
That's really cool. Actually, one thing that you touched on there, you said that when they speak English, they have, like, you wouldn't realize that English would be like, let's say, a second or a third language to these Finnish people. But then you said they have like these flawless American accents.
Yeah.
Is that maybe a thing like we see in Ireland, where it was like almost a Sesame Street effect, where like kids were growing up watching like American TV? Like, do they call the last letter in the alphabet Z or Z?
Oh my God.
Have you ever had anybody?
I have no idea. See, they call a H an H. And ooh, somebody corrected me once, because I was explaining hurling to them, and I was like, oh, the goalposts are shaped like a H. And this person, who shall remain nameless, who is a Swedish-speaking Finn, his first language, not English, my first language, English, he was like, it's an H. And I was like, bro, get out.
It's clearly Lassie.
But I think
I was going to say,
Lassie.
Okay. Relationship but is still going strong, yeah. Touch wood.
But he does call them herbs instead of herbs, and I have yet to beat that out of him, so I'll get there eventually. But that annoys me a little bit. But I think it might be, I've heard that there's like a Peppa Pig effect in like Australia and the UK, or the US as well, that all of these little kids have British accents because they're watching Peppa Pig or something. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of it would be that they're learning kind of how to pronounce words in an American way. So I also know somebody here who's married to an Englishman, and she has a flawless English accent. But otherwise, it's usually an American or American-esque accent. I think I see it much more with Swedish-speaking Finns, because I think the sounds in Swedish are much more similar to English. And it's very common, like if you take, for example, Alexander Skarsgård, who is that really hot actor from Sweden. He has like a flawless American accent. So it's very common for Swedish speakers to have the American accents. I think usually with a Finnish speaking Finn, they would have more of like a standard Finnish-esque accent. But yeah, it is something, I guess, that comes from the similarities between Swedish pronunciation and maybe English. And then also the fact that like they don't dub media here unless it's for kids. So it's like a matinee of a movie, or it's on during the daytime for like children's television. Everything is subtitled and not dubbed. So they have access largely to American media. So maybe that's where it's coming from.
Anytime anybody says, you know, like a TV or film or whatever has been dubbed, all I can think of is, you know, when they play Harry Potter on TG Car.
Yeah.
And it'd just be really badly dubbed into Irish.
But like dubbing is really hard. Like it's impossible to get, like you can't get the shapes properly. So they don't dub anything here. So like I don't have to sit through like Finnish content usually. Although I did last Sunday, I did try to watch the Bratz movie that was on TV before I realised that it was in Finnish, and I was horrified. And then I was like, yeah, because this movie's for children. Like,
there you go. Now, when I think of dubbing, I always think of the kind of the early Jackie Chan films when, especially the ones when they've been dubbed, and his characters usually just called Jackie Chan in them, in the like Police Story and things like that. And then like when Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is shown on TV, and that's one of my favorite films. But when it's shown on TV, it's usually dubbed as opposed to the subtitle version. The dubbing does take some of the magic out of it.
Difficult to watch something that's been dubbed. Mm-hmm. I remember when we used to live in Spain, you'd be thrown on, like, you're like, oh, The Simpsons are on, whatever, we'll throw it on for 20 minutes, half an hour. Next thing, the whole thing is dubbed in Spanish, and like none of the voice actors match up remotely with any of the characters, and it's just, it's a struggle to kind of sit through.
And also the songs aren't dubbed, which is really chaotic, because you're watching The Simpsons in and it's been dubbed in another language, but then when the monorail song comes on, it's in English.
But sometimes they do, though, because one of my like best friends is a Finnish speaking Finn, and I remember watching like The Lion King or something with her, and she was like, she'd never heard Hakuna Matata in English, and she was like, what the hell is this? Like, so when they watch those Disney kid movies, like, they're all dubbed. So like, I remember watching a video of, so it's the guys who do the voices for the Animaniacs, because they're rebooting the Animaniacs. And
really?
I was watching it with my boyfriend. Yeah, I'm so excited.
Oh my God, okay.
So I was watching it with my boyfriend, and one of them switched to the Wacko voice, and I was like, oh my God, it's Wacko. And he was like, I have no idea what you're talking about, because he had watched Animaniacs as a kid, but it was all dubbed, like, obviously, because they dubbed children's media. So he was like, I mean, it sounds weird, but like, I don't know what Wacko sounds like in English. And I was like, what? This is insane.
Welcome, gather round the fireside and listen to a tale.
The Irish are a nation of storytellers, and Fireside, the Irish Storytelling Podcast, is having its very first live show at Bello Bar on August 22nd. The Fireside Sessions Beginnings will be an evening of folklore, mythology, some true tales, and even a few tunes. Sure, it wouldn't really be a session without them now, would it? Join me, your host, Kevin C. Olihan, and some very special guests of storytellers and musicians for an intimate and entertaining evening of what the Irish do best. No, not that. Although we do hope there'll be a few of them too. August 22nd, Bello Bar, Dublin. Tickets on eventbrite.ie/thefiresidesessionsbeginnings. Follow us on Instagram at FiresideBard, and we'll see you all round the fireside. Yeehaw.
Coming back to our Eurovision thought, the Ireland's phase of Eurovision victories went from about 1970 to 1994, which is about 24 years. We're actually 25 years away from our last win now. We're further away from we used to think that this is just something we had in charge, but now we realize the Irish kind of the Pax Hibernia in Eurovision was a little blip in the history. But since then, the country that's most likely to overtake us in our most wins ever is going to be Sweden. I think Sweden are just one behind us now.
Yep, they've got 6, we've got 7. Oh, it kills me.
And it seems the Swedish overtaking Eurovision has kind of broadly corresponded with the end of kind of Irish cultural dominance in the 90s. The amount of successful novelists, comedians, films, Oscar nominations, Booker Prize winnings. That's kind of dropped down the same way that Swedish popular culture, cultural dominance has really risen.
Yeah,
and the main person, obviously Stieg Larsson was a huge part of that. But the other person is obviously Max Martin.
Yeah, exactly. So for anyone who doesn't know, Max Martin is like any pop song that you've danced to probably in the last like 20 years, Max Martin probably wrote that or had some hand in writing it. So he's this like Swedish mogul who like writes music and is like... anything he touches turns into a number one hit, but also like any kind of sweet or any pop star that maybe you've been listening to in the last like maybe at least 15 years or so has probably been Swedish or written music in Swedish. So take for example Zara Larsson, she's Swedish. I think Lucky Lee is Swedish possibly. Mm-hmm. But they've got the handle on like popular culture, particularly when it comes to music right now.
And this is because I remember when there was some footage of the Swedish royal family wedding, and I saw it a couple of years back. I remember seeing it and watching it on television, and there was I can't remember which Swedish prince it was, and they were all looking very well. But then I saw when they were walking at the aisle, a lad starts singing Umbrella by the Rihanna song Umbrella in Swedish. And I thought, that's a mad choice. But then I realized, oh yes, well, Max Martin has obviously wrote that and was a guest at the wedding and he's probably kind of coordinating this.
I'm on his Wikipedia page here and I am learning some things. I am getting educated.
Girl.
So, right?
I'm telling you.
According to Wikipedia.
Oh.
Okay. Not really a reliable source, but we'll say no more.
Hey, do not let our good friend Claire Murray hear you say that.
Like, I'm very.
She'll have a lot of things to say.
I'm pro Wikipedia, but, you know, you can't really be like, well, according to Wikipedia. I want to just start reading this here. He rose to prominence in the second half of the 1990s after making a string of major hits, right? Such as Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
Yeah, that was his first major hit. And there's a really good, both Derek and I have nerded over this podcast episode by, isn't it Hit Parade?
Yes, Hit Parade by Chris Malanfi. It's my favorite podcast. And it's basically a kind of a combination of nerding out about pop music and nerding out about statistics because it's a history of the pop charts and what the moves in the pop charts represent.
Yeah.
But a huge thing was because Max Martin was a second or third language, English was low down on the languages he speaks, which is a credit to him. But he thought that hit me meant hit me up, as in hit me up, give me a call. So the phrase, that is why the song is called Baby One More Time, because I said it's one thing to sing the words hit me, but to actually write the words hit me down are different.
Ah.
Yeah, and I think it was TLC maybe that were initially offered the song and they were like, no, because it condones domestic violence, because that was how they interpret it. And I mean, I don't know if they're raging that they gave up on it now, but yeah, it's really interesting.
So.
Yeah. And if you look at, say the song lyrics of ABBA songs, who are obviously famously Swedish. And some of them are a little weird, some of them are a little strange. But then again, I mean, I don't know if this is a chicken egg situation, that either pop song lyrics are weird or they're weird because they're all written by Max Martin and therefore his first language is in English. So I don't know which is which one comes first. But I think it's just, usually they're absolute belters and you don't really pay too much attention to what the words are, English or...
Apparently, he is the songwriter with the third most number one singles on the chart, behind only Paul McCartney and John Lennon.
There you have it.
Oh man, that's insane. And they're on the go longer than he is.
Because...
Well, we're not John Lennon.
He has co-written 22 Billboard Hot 100 number one hits.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paul McCartney has 32 and John Lennon has 26. In addition, he has had the second most hot number one singles as a producer, 20, behind George Martin, who had achieved 23 by the time of his death.
Presumably not the same guy who writes the Game of Thrones. That's George Martin, is it? I don't know.
Martin was the Beatles producer.
Yeah.
And so they often call him the fifth Beatle. But one of the things Max Martin has made, he's studied music in intrinsic detail, but two things he commented on, which I guess come down to gradually enter the Irish language debate, is he said that lyrics aren't that important. They're not as important as a banging tune.
Yeah, they're really not.
And secondly, and so then in a way that almost trying to get the lyrics right is almost a distraction from getting the banging tune right. And then
if you're four vodka Red Bulls deep, you're not dancing to the lyrics.
Yeah. So but the whole put your hands on me in my skin tight jeans, be your teenage dream tonight doesn't mean anything, but you don't care about that when you're bopping.
Yeah, exactly. I've never felt like a G6, but I've bopped to that song. I have no idea what that is.
I mean, personally, neither have I felt like a plastic bag floating through the wind. But,
still bopping.
You got to do what you got to do.
And the other thing he said was that he owes all his success to the Stockholm public education system, which gave every kid a good grounding in music theory and gave access to musical instruments.
Hmm.
Yeah.
The idea was I don't think he went to university to go to study music there, but he got his musical training from public schools in Stockholm. And this is a thing that when people go on to where it's taught and things like that, I guess music education is something that's really important. I was lucky that I did a bit of music up to junior cert level, I think. But in terms of being able to read music and things like that, these are things that, while a lot of pop singers can't do them, the producers all can. The super songwriter producers absolutely do have a total nerd out on musical theory, musical notation, identify pitch and things.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to go full Finn on this now and say that Sweden's great, but Finland's better. Because the education system in the Nordics generally is like amazing, but it's best in Finland, just saying. So the best place to get educated in the world is Finland, and we have the best education system here, but like it's pretty good in Sweden too. So they have this really weird thing in, I mean, it's the way it's taught, a debate, but the way it's taught anything you want it to be taught, the way it's taught in Scandinavia and the Nordics, that's the way you want it to be taught. So they have this amazing education system, which like, as I said, like it renders people like fluent. And I've talked before about that, the dichotomy of fluency and how I hate it. But for example, this morning I went and I bought a secondhand bike from a person who I had been texting with her. My boyfriend texted her in Swedish, in Finnish, to like arrange it. But then he wasn't here today. So I had to text her this morning and be like, hey, I hope it's okay that we speak English. So I rocked up and she had brought a friend with her. And she was like, this is my friend who speaks English a little better than I do. But then we had a full on 15 minute conversation about a bike. Like she was like fluent in bike terminology. So... And this is all down to the amazing, as I said, there's obviously loads of English media, but like they have an amazing education system here. Like they don't have, it's insane. They don't have curriculums, which blows my mind. They don't have, like my boyfriend, for example, he would say that he never did more than about half an hour of homework a night. But everybody here has a master's degree because they're all free. And like you can do, so when I did my master's here, you can do like, you can do an, so there's no such thing as a time pressure in an exam. So an exam might have four questions and the exam could be 4 or 5 hours long. So you have as much time as you need. And then you can also do the exam again multiple times. So like if I do the exam once, sometimes people will go just to get the exam paper and then leave. Sometimes people would do it once, they weren't happy with the grade, they'll do it again. You can do it like 5, 6 times and they'll only give you the highest grade that you got. Like it's insane how flexible they are about things. Like it's just, it just then breeds to people having, like you said, a really good grasp of things. That like they do things like all of the lads who say that we should learn coding would love Finland because they, you know, some kids learn coding and stuff in school. Like some of them learn Mandarin, some of them learn Russian. They all learn Swedish as a compulsory subject, which is sometimes debated, not very well. But it's fascinating how accessible education is here. Like there's no they kind of understand the fact that people have lives and sometimes lives get in the way of education. So they make it so that your education is like, you know, it's available to everybody. Like the sweetest thing ever, last summer I was here, I was working from the Helsinki City Library a lot, and I used to see this old man come in every day and he would just read books because the libraries, even the university libraries, are available to everybody. So this old man was just like educating himself and he was so cute. He would like shuffle into the library and sit down and just read a bunch of books, and I loved him. I saw him every day and I just thought he was the cutest thing because he was just learning, having a great time. So cute.
That's adorable.
I know.
So why is it so good? I mean, is it because they pay teachers well? Is it the actual philosophical attitude to homework? Is it something that kicks in at primary level? Is it because I mean, like Finland has a very similar population to Ireland, and Helsinki has a similar population to Dublin.
Yeah,
and we kind of both arrived at statehood at similar top points in history. And I mean, I know obviously they entered the recession. The recession hit them in a bad way around the same time the recession hit us. But obviously the big thing was that in addition to the global recession issues, Nokia basically got kicked in the nuts by the iPhone very hard. And they went from being kind of utter domination of the mobile phone market to being like utterly kicked in the nuts. So and like, what do you think is the root of the Finnish education system?
I think it's probably multifaceted. So they're very keen. They're very proactive in terms of things like, for example, I don't know, if there's a problem, they fix it. So, for example, there was a problem in the, I think it was the 50s, where people were dying of like heart disease. People were really unhealthy. So the government overhauled the way that they provided meals. So theoretically in Finland, depending on your job, you can get fed by the state from the time that you're 2 to the time you die. So you can get a subsidized state lunch. So for example, if I'm a student, I have a little card and I get a lunch for 2.60, and that lunch will include like all of my nutrients that are provided. And that's been the way. So that it would encourage people to be healthy. And I think I saw an ad on the radio or in the TV recently that said that they were like the second most active nation behind Uganda or something weird like that. But they're really proactive. Like, if there's a problem, let's fix it. So that's kind of how they approach education. And they've always approached education that way, that they have really high taxes. So teachers are paid really well. But also the attitude towards teaching is, and this is no diss to any teacher in any country, but teaching is considered very much a vocation here. So it's not easy to become a teacher. It's actually incredibly difficult. It's probably one of the hardest courses to get accepted to. So every teacher wants desperately to be a teacher and has always wanted to do that. So they take it really seriously. And then each teacher has, you know, they've got a degree in pedagogy. You know, they fully understand sort of learning methods. Not saying that other teachers in other countries don't, like, but they, it's treated in such a way that it's almost sacred. And it's super weird because kids don't start school here till seven, like primary school, we'll say. They go to kindergarten and stuff, but they don't start till they're seven, which is weird for me because it's really late. I'm like, what are you doing until you're seven, you know? Mm. But they don't, like I said, they don't have a curriculum. They have a lot of outdoor time, but when they're outdoors, they're learning stuff. So if you had like a science class, maybe you might go outside and you might talk about trees or something with kids, or, you know, you learn in a very active way. So they have a much more kind of proactive way to education. And like I said, because they're not constrained by curriculum, you know, there still is matriculation exams that people have to do, but how you get there is different. And then education isn't treated, so higher level education isn't really treated with the same prestige that might be seen in other countries, Ireland in particular. So the fact that third level education is available to everybody makes it less sort of grandiose, so that it doesn't really matter if you don't go. There's other education avenues. You know, you can go to like a vocational school and learn a trade. If you were going to be a nurse, you would go to one of those schools and learn a practical skill. So it's much more, because everybody has an education, it's not deemed in this sort of like sacred, well, not that it's not sacred, people do consider it, you know, important, but it's, everybody can have it, you know. The amount of people who go back to education, it can be really easy. Older people getting a degree is not a weird thing. You know, there's mature students kind of don't exist because everybody has their own story.
And tell me this, did the Finnish government put the Department of Education slap bang in front of a massive Catholic cathedral the way we did in Ireland?
I'd say probably not, to be honest. People always think it's super weird when I tell them here. They think I'm the weirdest thing that I went to a Catholic school. They're like, what? Like, tell me more about your weird life.
It's funny because in other countries, I suppose, on one level, Catholic schools generally do have a reputation for strictness and for Catholic universities, especially universities in America, are very well regarded. But right. I'm guessing that there's probably some church-state separation in Finland.
There'd be a fair bit of that, right? Yeah.
Just a fair bit.
It's funny, though, because they have this thing, this separation of church. They very much do. It's a very secular state. So what you do with your religion is your own business. In saying that, they have a bunch of days off during the year. So they're called flag days here. And they're the days when they fly the Finnish flag. Mm. And they have like a day off. And I'm like, what the hell is this random Tuesday off for? Because nobody tells me about this. And I go to the shop or something and it's closed. Yeah. And I'm like, why is it closed? And they're like, oh, it's, I don't know, the Annunciation or something like that. And I'm like, you people aren't religious. You just love a day off. And that's effectively it. They just love a good day off. And they're like, yeah, it's some sort of religious holiday. Let's give it a day off.
I mean, that's relatable. We all have a good day off.
Right? I'd be on with that. Like, I feel like we used to get the 8th of December off. I feel like that was a day off when I was
That's a Kulshi thing. Like, yeah, it's Kulshi shopping day. You all just went up to Henry Street
and Cleary's.
And Cleary's. Yeah. And I remember that. It was just like this massive onslaught. And obviously people would have people would come off from the country, they'd have the crack, they'd all see each other, they do the Christmas shopping, and it was, I think the actual Late Late Toy Show was scheduled around it.
Oh my God, I love that.
So I accidentally organised the work Christmas party last year for the same night as the toy show.
Yeah, yeah. What were you at? Like, come on, sorry, not going to that. Absolutely,
I was like,
not.
Yikes, how did I manage that one? I was a bit upset over it, I will say, but it's not the same when you watch it on repeat on the Sunday.
No.
Oh, as somebody who's had to watch it on the player for the last couple of years, because it's on, I've been in Finland for it, so it is the same, okay? And I've actually gotten a few Finnish friends into it. They think that it's adorable, and I'm like,
oh my God, unreal.
Get ready to cry.
Yeah.
Do they not have,
that's what they're doing now.
Do they not have a toy show in Finland?
No, they don't. And I have heard a couple of people say, oh, we should do that here. But I just feel like Finns are, if anyone's ever met a Finn, they're very dry. And I'm not going to say no crack because they are crack. But like, you got to break the crack out of them. So yeah. They might not be able to warm to it in the same way. I feel like their big thing on the 6th of this December, which is Finnish Independence Day, they all sit around and watch minor Finnish celebrities shaking hands with the president as they all go to a big banquet. But you don't get to see the banquet. You just get to see them all rock up and shake hands with the president. And I've sat and watched it and I'm like, what is this? Like, although I did one year, I did see the creators of Angry Birds, which is a Finnish app.
Is Angry Birds Finnish?
Like, it is Finnish, girl, yeah.
Unreal.
So the creator or the creator's partner, somebody rocked up wearing like a big red dress that had like Angry Birds all over it. It was deadly. Like, otherwise, I didn't care much for it.
Yeah.
But that's the funny thing about Finland. Like, if something is Irish, you know about it. You know Guinness is Irish because we tell you. If something is Finnish, they're too shy to tell you. So you're like, you just assume that it's not finished. Like, you would just assume that Angry Birds wasn't finished, but there it is. Nobody knows. They need to market themselves better. They need a tip from Falch Ireland, who, in fairness, are pretty damn good.
But this is also a difference between the Swedes and the Finns in that one of the, in terms of the kind of smaller languages, the Swedish brands have actually made a very big point of using kind of Swedish words. I think obviously of IKEA using Swedish names and kind of because people associate kind of it with prosperity, with associate Sweden with prosperity and things being done correctly. The idea they can get some pretty bog standard furniture, slap a kind of a funny name, a Swedish name on it,
exactly.
And people think, well, that's people find it reassuringly Teutonic.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the problem. I think Finns are just overall really, really shy. So they're too shy to say that that's Finnish, whereas Swedes are like, they know how to market themselves. If you've ever been to an IKEA, I mean, listen, it's massive and it's blue and yellow. It's the Swedish colours. You know about it. It's got weird names on the furniture, which I might add are not all Swedish. They have a system for naming. And some of those names, I can't remember which it is, but some category will say that it's frames or something are all Finnish words. But you wouldn't know that because the Finns don't tell you that.
Oh,
God. Yeah. So they have a system that I will say, for example, that like all bed furniture is Swedish words, and then maybe all like kitchen supplies maybe are Norwegian words. So they're big for like, there's a whole thing in it, like I can't remember where I read it, but like there's different categories for like different words and different names. I know at least the sofa that we have is frihet, which is freedom, and that's Swedish. So I guess sofas are Swedish words. I don't know.
And before we wrap up, we're gonna ask you your favorite and least favorite Swedish words.
Oh wow. I should have known this was coming and I didn't prepare. I think I like, I've talked about it before, igelkott, which is the word for hedgehog, which is little pine cone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is super cute. I don't know if I have a least favourite Swedish word. At the moment, I tend to like them all, but my vocabulary is a little bit limited. So I'll get back to you on that one. But I guess, I don't know. I don't have a Swedish word that I don't like. So far, I don't like the fact that the common use for the word feminist or feminism is just feminist or feminism. I did see something like kvinnors kvinnor, which is woman's woman for feminist, but that's apparently not used. But I was like, that's way nicer, but it's a little bit mouthy. It's a little bit, there's a lot in that.
Yeah, there's a lot to get your mouth around in that one.
Yeah, so I feel like feminist is easier to put in a hashtag. So yeah. That's probably why they use that. Yeah, so maybe the fact that they do use a lot of Englishisms in there. Same with Irish. I mean, I'd prefer they just use their own language, but I guess they're not threatened as much.
Yes. Caroline, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. Please do go back and enjoy the wonders of the Finnish countryside. Give a reindeer a hug from us.
I will.
Enjoy the saunas. Watch out for Yowlapukki. And
yep, I will. Okay. I love how much Finnish culture I brought onto the show, but I'm going to break everybody's heart, particularly Emer's, and tell you that most people in Finland do not live near where the reindeer live, because most people in Finland don't live in the Arctic Circle region. So I've only seen a reindeer when I went to visit Santa Claus or Joulupukki in Rovaniemi. Realistically, we don't eat reindeer in this part of Finland, nor do we see it. Moose, on the other hand, yes, very much.
I love how you just assumed that would break my heart.
Well, I mean, I know how married you are to the idea that, like, reindeer meat is common here. And when I brought reindeer meat home for you that you didn't eat,
I know.
I had to go to a specialist store to get that because it's really hard to get it in this part of Finland.
I feel so bad. I was staying in Mammy and Daddy McAvoy's house in Port Leash. Well, in Timahoe, in Leash. It's in Leash. Next thing, Gardine is like, oh, we were having like smoked reindeer or something. And I was like, oh my God, what's that like? I was like, bring some home. And then, of course, Mammy McAvoy was like stuffing us full of food for the, what was it, 2 days we were there, like, and completely forgot that there was reindeer in the fridge. I didn't get
it's
to
fine,
have
I ate
any.
It. I ate it. I wasn't upset. Like, I had it all myself. I had it on a little roll with some, like, beetroot chutney. Like, it was unreal.
Ooh,
it was deadly.
Fab.
So, yeah. I didn't care. But, yeah, okay. I'm just saying that we don't eat reindeer in this part of the... Smoked salmon, yeah. Smoked moose, it's not that nice. Just moose meat, it's fine. It's okay.
Ew.
Yeah.
Yuck.
So, apparently, you can eat reindeer in Leash instead.
Yeah, you just have to get it smuggled in through security. No, you don't smuggle it. It's fine. It's European Union, pro-EU.
And on that note, thank Gardaí. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Kitos, tak.
Okay.
It's a slán from me.
It's a slán from me.
And it's a tadava from me and also a slán.
We'll catch you next time. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Please like, subscribe and review to Motherfuck Lore wherever you get your podcasts.
The podcast is now in its second season and comes out every Friday on the Headstuff Network.
Thanks to Brian for producing and Kirsten Scheel for doing the artwork.
You can catch us on Twitter, on Facebook, or you can email motherfucklore@headstuff.org.
There are some other shows on the Headstuff Podcast Network which you might also enjoy. May I recommend Pints of Malt, which is a show about Irish lads of Nigerian heritage and talking about their experiences.
If you're like me and you're a 90s baby, I would recommend Up to 90, where two gals talk about the 90s.
Join us next Friday for some more Motherfuck Lore and fun.
See you then.
Bye.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
You were like, you looked very pissed off. I was like, I was. Didn't know it was visual.